boy, folks. Welcome to another episode of the Josh Potter Show. It is I, Josh Potter, back again. Thank you to Killer Cope for putting out this bad boy right here. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com, folks. That's where you can send in all your musical numbers, or you can send in your articles, however you want to go about it. Please to be sending them into joshpottershow@gmail.com. Also, you can go to thejoshpotter.com, buy tickets to shows. Just had shows in Seattle, had a great time. Oh my God, thank you to all the roaches who came out in Seattle. And guess what? Next up, Chicago, happening on the 17th and 18th of May at the Comedy Bar. That's the next gigs. Beyond that, we got May 30th happening at Washington, D.C., the D.C. Improv, and May 31st going to be at the Emmaus Theater in Pennsylvania with one Tim Butterly. So that's going to be a hell of a time. And boy, oh boy, just getting out all over the road. Seattle was a blast. That's going to be a part of some of the things I discuss here in the beginning, because I'll tell you what. And Alex is here, he'll tell you. The roach is worse for wear. I mean, you talk about the Jordan flu game. I've been sick on this podcast. I've been hungover on this podcast. I've been tired, but boy, oh boy, this one's really like, I don't know what it is. I'm not hungover whatsoever. I'm just like wrecked, I think. You see what's happening here in Los Angeles is the old Netflix festival is going on. So there are parties happening. There's all sorts of stuff. And to give you an idea about the last few days for the old roach here, Thursday night I had a set at the Comedy Store. Went to do that. And the sets are happening a little bit later than even the late ones usually happen, which is crazy because this past Thursday I got to see Julian Edelman run his roast set for the I almost said Comedy Central. It's not Comedy Central. Netflix. The Tom Brady roast, which just aired not but a few hours ago, it seems. Did you watch it, Alex?
I didn't watch it, but I saw Nikki Glaser and Jeff Ross run their sets at Improv earlier in the week.
Yeah, that's the thing about being here in LA. If you go to shows, you're going to get to see some of these folks run their sets. And I mean, my God, let's just talk. I mean, that's the only sports I have today is the Tom Brady roast. So let's get into it.
Beep, 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 beep.
So yeah, I mean, you saw them run their sets at the Improv, you said, yeah?
Yep.
Now, I saw Jeff Ross was at the Comedy Store. He ran his set, and then he brought up Julian Edelman to run his set. Now, I saw Julian Edelman in the back bar. Now, this is not the first time that the Roach, an avid Bills fan, obviously, it runs through my blood. Things about me go like this. It's like, I'm a human being. I'm a Bills fan. I'm a man. Like, those are the rankings of, like, the things that make up my DNA. And I see Julian Edelman. The last time he was at the Comedy Store, he was there with Rob Gronkowski. This was, like, maybe a year or two ago. And one of the managers, Richie, was like, oh, you want to meet Julian Edelman? He's in the back bar. I go, no. It's the last thing I want to do. Meet Julian Edelman? Are you kidding me? No. So I've had some evolved thought on that since then. You see, I've, thought about that. I go, that's stupid of me. You know, like, now that the Patriots dynasty is officially dead, Bill Belichick's not even there anymore, the Patriots might as well be the Carolina Panthers at this point to me. I mean, they're so off the beaten path. I mean, we'll see what this new regime can do. But for the time being, I'm like, why am I harboring such ill? The thing that I hated is dead. It's gone. Sure, I hate the Patriots, but they're just never going to be a problem anymore. And these people aren't even a part of that anymore. So what am I harboring ill will? I'm trying to be more Buddhist about this. So I see Julian Edelman on Thursday night and I go, he's getting ready for a set. I don't want to bother him. I watch him do his thing in the OR. He does his roast jokes. And, he did the ones that he did on the roast that you saw and he crushed. I mean, he did a great job. And so I saw him in the back bar afterwards and I went up to him and I said, Mr. Edelman, as a Bills fan, I wanted that to go terrible. But he did a great job. And then he, like, laughed at that and introduced himself or whatever. Got, you know, because you're in the back bar, so it's like, this guy's not just some schlub. He's here back here, right? And in the Comedy Store, by the way, the back bar now, I mean, I don't know if you've ever gotten to go back there before, but they've remodeled. I mean, it's a whole new thing. So it's like, this was the first night it was like this. So it feels like I'm in The Shining or something. I mean, it's crazy back there. And then, you know, so I do my set. I go home very, very late at night. You know, it was a nice party. And the Roach had to get on a plane to Seattle the next morning. And that was a hell of a time. I get to Seattle. I do two shows. Thank you all the Roaches who partied with me over there after that. Did the shows, partied, came back here to old Los Angeles on Saturday, I think it was. Yes. And then immediately, like I said, this Netflix is a joke thing. There's just parties and parties and parties, after parties, pre-parties, daytime parties. So the second I land, I'm like, old Frank Castillo, we had on the program last week, had his after party at a weed club, which was, I've never been to something like that before, which was pretty awesome. They might want the Roach as a member to the weed club. Oh, my Lord. Where am I? Am I Don Draper over here? What is this, a country club situation? My, oh, my. So, no, I was excited about that. Had a great time. You know, got pretty high. Now I go to bed. You know, I'm thinking, okay, so now Sunday's rolling around. I knew the roast was happening on Sunday. Now Tom's coming into town. He's just got added to the roast. Bert's been, you know, on the. I knew Bert was on the roast because I heard people doing jokes about him. You know, everybody's coming to town for this roast. Tony Hinchcliffe was added. Sam Jay. I mean, these huge names on this roast. And I thought for a hot second I was going to go to the roast. And I was kind of relieved when that fell through. And I won't say how or who or whatever, but I, and it wasn't Tom. If you're out there and you're like, who did Tom not get? Tom didn't. Tom was here last second. He flew here from Cincinnati. I didn't want to bother him with tickets. It was someone else who was supposed to hook me up with a ticket, a suit, if you will, and didn't happen. So I was actually relieved. I'm like, thank God I get to rest a little bit. This thing's at 5 o'clock at the Kia Forum. I mean, that might as well be on Mars. I had to, you know, fly. I had to take an airplane just to go to the Kia Forum. It's that far away. So I was relieved. I'm like, I'll just watch it on television. Turns out I didn't even do that at first. You know, I ended up seeing clips online, but I'm watching it, you know, and the clips as they're coming out, I'm like, man, this is a real event. You know, then I turned it on. It made me turn it on. That's a feeling that I haven't had watching television or about television. I can't tell you when. When something's happening live on the TV and I felt the need to run to the TV and turn it on. That's, I can't tell you the, I mean, other than sports, a thing like that, like a roast or something, I can't tell you the last time I felt it. I mean, it was truly unbelievable. And I'm not even saying that to ball wash anybody. This isn't like, I'm not dick riding Netflix here. Trust me, I didn't get a fucking single set on their festival, so I could care less. But this was a fucking event, dude. It was unbelievable. So I'm, you know, I'm watching this thing and I'm like, man, oh man. And I'm texting with a couple people. I'm like, I wonder if anyone's going to go hang out at the store afterwards. I'm like, you know, there's probably some, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, at least people who I know went to go watch it, comics and others, will come to the store afterwards. So I'll go to the store and hang out and see what's up. I thought the rest of the people, you know, the people on the roast, would have like major after parties to go to, these posh happenings. I don't know where, some LA, whatsy doozies. I don't know. I don't hang out anywhere other than the Comedy Store. So I went to the Comedy Store around, you know, 7 or so. And, you know, the Comedy Store already had, I mean, there's shows happening for the festival, obviously. But also on Sunday nights, they do a little thing called Set of the Night, which is very much like a Kill Tony. It's, you know, they get 2 minutes. It's an open mic. It's a bucket thing. And it's become a real happening at the Comedy Store. Like, people are, they, the comics that are putting their names in the bucket can't even be in the room anymore because the room is sold out with regular people just going to watch the show because it's, you know, there's a panel. It's very much like Kill Tony without Tony, I guess you could say. And the panel's just random every time. And, you know, it's not really even a judge thing. It's just, you know, it's an open mic with a little bit of extra panache to it. And the comics now have to wait down at the patio bar. And Bruce Gray, who runs the show, hilarious comic, he actually has to fill out something on his phone, which then displays it to the television at the bar below, so a comic can see, like, I'm up in four people, like it's a fucking airplane terminal. It's crazy. That already is happening. That's already crazy. Now you add the festival to it, you add some of the celebrity that they're going to be coming. So I get there, first guy I see, old Mark Norman, hanging out at the back bar, and I go, now this is what the back bar was all about. I'm so glad it's back. And they've revitalized it, and now people can hang out here. So, boom, right away, we're having drinks, talking it up, I haven't seen this guy in a few months. You know, and as the night's rolling on, I start seeing a bunch of different people. People that work at your mom's house. People that work with Kill Tony. Then, you know, Tony comes in. I mean, Tony's there. Bert comes in. Leanne. I mean, Shane Gillis walks in. I'm sitting there talking to Shane. Who walks up to Shane? Dave Chappelle. I mean, it is getting crazy. I'm like, am I in a coma? Is this a fever dream? I mean, like, these are all people I've met before. You see them all the time. But it's very rare you get to be in the same room as all these people at once. And you'd think that would be something where I would geek out. This is these types of things I kind of feel like, you know, I've been in these rooms before. It's cool. You know, I love it. It's like a comet flying across the sky. You catch it every couple of every year you get one of these types of things. Skankfest oftentimes feels like this type of thing. But then you have the added thing of there being athletes who are here for the roast. And there were many athletes on the roast. And one athlete, a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills at one point, it was crazy to see him on the roast. Drew Bledsoe was on the roast. All of a sudden, who walks into the fucking back bar? Drew fucking Bledsoe. I had to take a picture with him. I never geek out about celebrities. I mean, I've seen Jason Momoa walk in that thing. I've seen Dua Lipa at the con. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are people that I go, oh, they're big celebrities. But I don't. Drew Bledsoe, I was a fucking loser. The second I walked up to him, I'm like, Mr. Bledsoe, I'm a big Bills fan. This guy, Drew Bledsoe, couldn't be more disenchanted to see me. It was everything that I had imagined about Drew Bledsoe. I mean, like, I could be in my own head about it, but he was like, oh, great. Yeah, this is who I wanted to see. Like, he was, like, saying things like that as he was walking past me. I mean, it was a crowd. The back bar was crowded at this point. I mean, packed. And so he's trying to get, I'm like, you can go right this way. Like, I'm trying to guide him. Like, and I'm just like, you know, big Bills fan. Love. And he just kept saying things like, yeah, this is who I wanted to talk to. Something like that. This is why I'm here. You know, like stuff like that. And I'm like, I know he's busting my chops right now, but like, I don't really give a shit. So like, he finally walks by. I'm like, that was crazy. I just talked to Drew Bledsoe. I mean, I think I've met every Bills quarterback at some point. Jim Kelly's a piece of shit. I've talked about that immense amount of times. He's the biggest piece of shit to ever live. And I always couldn't wait for a new quarterback to come in and usurp Jim Kelly as the best quarterback of the Bills of all time. Not only is Jim Kelly, by the way, this is not to be a diatribe about Jim Kelly. I feel like I have to back up my words. Not only is Jim Kelly a piece of shit, just like in a macro sense, he was just like a piece of shit to me, like a bunch of times. Like, I used to make commercials for the radio. He used to come in, do voice sessions, and he was just like a giant dick every single, like, needlessly. So there's that. I mean, I have my personal gripes, but also he's just a giant piece of, I mean, it's documented very well what a piece of shit he is. Anyhow, I always wanted a quarterback to come along and overshadow Jim Kelly. And Josh Allen's kind of doing that at the moment, but Drew Bledsoe was one of those ones I had high hopes for. I mean, back when the Patriots started their dynasty, Drew Bledsoe was cast aside by the Patriots for Tom Brady, and then the Bills scooped him up, and I'm like, here we go. And it was like that the first game that Drew Bledsoe played with the Bills was the first game that I actually produced as a board operator for the Buffalo Bills radio network. So I have memories, you know, that I look back to regarding Drew Bledsoe, and I have him in some sort of reverence. And so I was excited to see him. And then, you know, as the night wore on, you know, I was like, I can't believe I talked to Drew Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe, by the way, the reason I brought up Set of the Night before, Drew Bledsoe goes up and is on the panel for Set of the Night. Crazy. He stayed there until 2 in the morning. I mean, this thing goes on for hours, and especially in a night like this. And Drew Bledsoe stayed up there for like 4 hours. He just loves comedy, evidently. And he was just hanging out up there doing Set of the Night. So, I mean, some open micers who put their name in a fucking bucket go upstairs, and there's Drew Bledsoe. I think Bert went up there at one point. I mean, I don't even know who the hell pumped through that panel, but it was insane. And then, you know, I see Drew Bledsoe in the kitchen later as the night's winding down. And by the way, at this point, I thought the night was winding down. It's like half over. I mean, it's like 2 a.m, and I'm like, well, usually this is the time things kind of wrap up. I go out into the OR. Chappelle's just going on stage at 2 a.m. I mean, golly, this festival is out of control, and the roast was out of control. But I saw Drew Bledsoe in the kitchen, and I got to get a picture with him. And so I walk up to him, Mr. Bledsoe, may I please have a picture with you? And Drew Bledsoe was like, yeah, in a second. And he starts, and he finishes like some story he's telling, which I get. And I'm just standing there like a mook, staring at him, like grinning, waiting for him to finish the story so I can snap a picture with him. And to his credit, he took the picture with me. I definitely think he found me absolutely annoying. And I don't even give a shit. When it comes to that, I don't care. Like, I'd never... Chappelle was hanging out at the bar standing next to me the whole time and, like, said maybe five words to me, and I don't... I mean, he just holds court. He's the kind of... You know, he just talks. And people just stand around listening. At one point, I didn't even know he was next to me. I'm just standing there at the bar waiting to get a beer. And then I'm like, why is everyone, like, looking at me? I'm like, the whole bar is, like, looking at me over here. I'm like, this is weird. And then I look to my right. He's in my dead zone. I look to my right, and there's Chappelle just like, yeah, man. And I'm like, damn, Chappelle. Wow, he's just right here. Usually I've seen him at the store, like, floating through. It's like, don't go in the room Chappelle's in, that kind of thing. But he was just popping around everywhere. And he's standing in the kitchen telling stories. And he went up at the OR at 2 in the morning. And I'm standing. And then I see Norman again. I'm like, you're still here? He's like, you're still here? And then like, we drink more. And before you know it, I mean, just not but 5 hours ago, I was in a diner with Tony Hinchcliffe, just me and Tony and like two other people at a diner. The guy just had one of the most epic nights of his life, I'm sure. I mean, being on that roast must have been electric. I can imagine he couldn't sleep. So he's like, come eat breakfast with me. I'm like, all right, I'm down. But yeah, I had prepped the show like 5 hours ago. I mean, I was like, oh God, usually I have it done the night before. I wake up early and I do it. And then later in the afternoon, I can ruminate with it. And I can come here with you and present it to you. But in this case, it's a shotgun mission, I'll tell you what. And I was supposed to have a guest yesterday, canceled the guest because I thought I was going to the roast. Couldn't do it today. It was a whole hullabaloo. So we're just here telling tales, really, at the end of the day. And I hope that the festival, I mean, the festival has like, what, fucking one more week? I'm going to die. But let's get into the news in just a couple of moments. First, I want to let you know, today's Josh Potter Show is brought to you by BetterHelp. When's the last time you really celebrated a win? I'm trying to do it right now, but also I got to get through this podcast, you see, and deliver it to you. I hope you didn't find that story tremendously boring. I'm going to go talk to my BetterHelp therapist about it after this. Therapy can help not let those little moments pass you by. It actually helps you stay very present, I've learned with therapy. BetterHelp's online therapy can empower you and teach you positive coping skills. Like I said, it's been very helpful in keeping me in the present, I'll tell you what. And that's important because it doesn't make you ruminate about the future. You don't, dwell on things of the past that you can't control. And it gets you through things and helps you accomplish things a little bit better. I'm just speaking from my experience, of course, in the benefits of therapy. I love that BetterHelp is 100% online, by the way, too, because I can do it right from the comfort of my home or wherever I happen to be. It's so easy to plan sessions around a busy schedule, do therapy from your couch or on the go, whatever works for you. Getting started is quite simple. Just take a quick quiz and BetterHelp's going to match you up with a licensed therapist. So take a moment, visit BetterHelp.com/Josh Potter today, and you're going to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Josh Potter. Go check it out today. Get 10% off your first month. Today's Josh Potter Show is also brought to us by Rocket Money. Nothing's worse than you're checking your bank statement and you're like, what the hell is all of this that I'm paying for? Good golly. It's even worse when you check it out and you've got a subscription on there that you've been paying for twice. How the heck did that happen? If you want to be rolling in the money, you're going to have to keep track of that stuff, turns out. That's what I'm learning as well. And that's where Rocket Money comes in, by the way. They're going to help you keep track of all that stuff. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year, some of them, when using all of the app's features. Rocket Money is so amazing. So right now you can cancel unwanted subscriptions with just a few taps. I went in there and, oh my Lord, the roach got messy. He got sloppy. He had so many subscriptions and renewal things. Like, I mean, apps that just like, they go, you want this little package? Something like that. Things that I forgot I even did. and Rocket Money had them in a nice little list. Bing, bang, boom, beam, boom. I think I saved like just $200 on the way to the airport the other day, because I was like, let me look at Rocket Money here and see if I've got anything I got to clean up here. And I was just so relieved. It's like a little weight was lifted off of my shoulders. They even have a dashboard that shows you this month's spending compared to the previous month, so you can keep tabs on where your money is going. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Potter. That's rocketmoney.com/Potter. One last time, rocketmoney.com/Potter. Let's get to the news. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't have many sports things today. I thought the biggest sports thing in the world was this Tom Brady roast. Hell of a time. I didn't even go to the roast. I had a hell of a time, though, and I hope you watched it and had a hell of a time, because it really, I mean, Nikki Glaser, for the record, is going to be an icon after that. I mean, she had the most epic. You saw it at the Improv. And I mean, the people that were in the arena were telling me that she had like a standing ovation in the fucking Kia Forum. I mean, it's crazy, dude. I mean, would it crush that hard in the Improv? I'm sure it did. I mean, she's changing things all the time, though. So I'm curious your thoughts after you watch her on this. But I mean, God, easily the set of the night, from what I've been told. And literally everybody who walked through that door was raving about her. I really think it's going to like help. I mean, she's going to go to like, she's already doing theater. She's going to go to the next thing. I guarantee it. But go check out the roast. I'm not like, again, I have no reason to promote it or wash its balls in any capacity. Anyhow, this might help me. I don't even remember what the hell this is. It says hot dogs save my life. Let's see what it's all about. It's a video, I know.
Your house, sadly, tragically, completely destroyed. Where were you today when the storm rolled through?
You know, I was at the gas station getting hot dogs, and it saved my life. So hot dogs saved my life.
Let that be a lesson, folks. Let that be a lesson to you out there. Go get that hot dog at the 7-Eleven once in a while. You might, while you're doing it, a tornado might rip through your home. I mean, that is an insane story. Lots of storms happening in the Midwest over the last couple of weeks. It is tornado season, so keep that in mind. If you don't have a storm shelter, maybe you just go down the old road there. Scoop up a hot dog. God, that's going to be my life story. I mean, how many people can say hot dogs saved my life? They always say a hot dog takes off, you know, what is it, a year or something like that? One hot dog takes 8 months off your life or something? Is that what it is?
That can't be true, but I would love it if it is.
Can you like, Google it? What does it say? Let's see. It's like the carcinogens. I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm just making carcinogens is like what's in a cigarette, I thought, but also could be in a hot dog. No, it's no, like the
that's right. 27 minutes.
27 minutes each hot dog. This man, oh, who cares about taking 27 minutes off? This guy almost had a tornado take off years, decades even. And one hot dog, sure, give me that 27 minutes. That means, you ever hear about the nine dog, what is it, the 999 challenge at baseball?
No.
Nine dogs, nine beers, nine innings. Now, with the pitch clock, this has become nearly impossible because innings don't last as long as they used to last in baseball games. And it makes it very difficult to go apprehend. I mean, I guess you could buy, it's tough to buy nine beers. You really need help with that because they only let you have two at a time. Maybe you can go like get two, and then pile them up. But to eat nine hot dogs in nine innings, that would be the easier part to me than the nine beer. I don't know, actually. I've never gone through the effort. I'm not a big eater. I get full very easy. I could do the nine beers, I'm pretty sure. The nine hot dogs, I don't know. I could probably rip. I've ripped three in an inning before, but then just been set for like, you know, the next 3 days like a fucking snake. But I would like to try it. I am going to go to a Dodger game in the next couple of weeks, and I will try it, and I will report back here how it goes. Nine beers and nine innings. Yeah, so I mean, take the risk, folks. If that's not a lesson, I don't know what is. Take that 27 minutes off your life. Eat the hot dog. You never know if a tornado's plowing through your house somewhere else. But also another hot dog incident. This one was like a chant. This one was another a big deal. Yeah, this is because they were having what? I think it was Dime Dog Night. I'm not even sure. The Mets did a promotion. Can you Google the Mets hot dog promotion?
It was Dollar Dog Night.
It's just Dollar Dog Night. They do that every year. Every year a team. Is this the first time the Mets did Dollar Dog Night? I thought it was like a dime a dog. But I remember when I lived in Cleveland, I used to go to the Dollar Dog Night. That was like epic. They, you know, Cleveland, by the way, also notoriously had a 5-cent beer night. This is like back in the 70s when a nickel was like, you know, $10 or something. And people got, you know, the score was bad or whether the team was playing poorly or whatever. And famously, they trashed the field with five. Everyone was wasted. What are you looking at here? What is some of these ones?
It was indeed $1 Dog Night. This is just a different article.
Okay, let's see.
Here's the clip we pulled.
Let's watch the clip.
For Dollar Hot Dog Night?
$10,000.
We want wieners.
Wow. Hot dogs have been ordered for tonight. An extra refrigeration truck was needed to house all the hot dogs.
What happens with the leftovers?
Guys, I don't know if you're saying anything to me. I can't hear anything. But everybody's really excited about what's going on here at Citi Field tonight. I'd say they got themselves a hit.
Seems like they're consuming more than hot dogs.
It seems like they're consuming more than hot dogs here at Citi Field tonight. More than hot dogs. They're consuming. What else are they consuming? Beer? Is that what you're getting at? They're consuming. They want wieners. They're consuming a little bit more than hot. Was it a sex joke that he was making?
I'm good. I feel weird, but I'm good.
I hit that one on accident. But I like it. That one's in there. That's good. The Dollar Dog Night is amazing. How many wieners did he say that they... I said wieners. I don't even know why I said that.
7,000?
7,000 just for the night? I mean, that doesn't seem like that many. That can't have been the number. It has to have been more, right? Did he say 74,000? Because, like, there are 14... I mean, how many people are at Citi Field? 17,000. There's at least 17,000 people at Citi Field. And I do believe
41.
That's how many people sit at Citi Field?
41,800 capacity. So yeah, 7,000 feels like low, but that would also be like, what, like 1 in 8 people getting a hot dog? Like,
yeah, but one hot dog for each of them and a Dollar Dog Night, and people are definitely doing the 999 challenge. I mean, that's crazy to only have
more. Hold on, let's go back and chat.
Yeah, I think he said 74,000 hot dogs.
Hot dog night.
$10,000.
70,000.
Yes, okay, yes.
Have been ordered for tonight.
70,000. That makes a lot more sense. And I bet that's not even enough. They're like, we're running out of hot dogs. I mean, golly, could you imagine just the shipment of hot dogs? I want to know all the nitty gritty of like how that's all done. Boy, oh boy. So you do 70,000 times 27 minutes. You're talking a generation just getting wiped away. It's pretty epic. What's this say?
I'm trying to look up what 70,000 hot dogs looks like, how much space that takes up.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. You know, a place that I used to get hot dogs all the time, and this is my favorite type of hot dog, is the Rolo dog. I will preach it up and down. I used to get it at department stores used to have hot dogs. I don't know if they still do. Costco's like the only, and that doesn't really count as a department store. But I'm talking, you know, before Target, we had a little thing called Hills back in the day. Do they have Hills everywhere? You never had a Hills?
No, I don't have Hills.
Hills was very, I mean, it did not last long in my life. I don't know how long Hills was out there. I'm sure it went like Woolworths, Hills, Target, and now I don't even know what the Amazon. We're in Amazon times now. But Hills was where we'd go there. My mother would take us there when she's doing shopping or whatever. And I would get a hot dog, a Rolo dog. You know, who knows how long this thing was going. You know what I'm talking about, the Rolo dog. It's going up and down, back and forth. Zzz, zzz. It could be in there for 2 days. I'd eat that shit. They have those at 7-Eleven, I suppose.
Yeah, I picture it at like 7-Eleven, gas station.
But yes, in department stores, they'd have this thing going. And that there's something about my mom would make a hot dog on the grill, and I would hate it. And a hot dog in the microwave, and I would hate it. I needed the Rolo dog. It was just so juicy, and something about it. I loved it. And they had them at Hills, and they also had them at Kmart. And Patrick sent this in, joshpottershow@gmail.com, this video from Kmart involving sexual harassment. I wonder if it's involving a hot dog.
Well, it's to Walt, just what I don't need today.
Oh, what a great way to start the day with two of the prettiest girls in the world.
Morning, Walt.
How are my two best girls doing?
Fine, just fine.
Wonderful. You know, it does an old man's heart good just to be working around such pretty young things all day.
I mean, this is already my favorite. I love how it's not only sexual harassment, it's the creepy old man sexual harassment, because you know they're at Kmart working. Oh, God, here comes... This is a literal... This is a message to the old people that are working in the job. They're like, there might be a young girl that works here. Don't be creepy to them, and here's how. Let's check out more of Walt.
Keeps the juices flowing, if you know what I mean.
Yes, Walt.
What do you mean, Walt? Tell me.
Well, then you two have a great day, and don't work too hard.
I cannot stand that guy.
Come on, he is just a harmless old man.
Yeah.
I think he's a dirty old man.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he's always touching, hugging me, calling me his best girl. It's just not right.
Oh, my God, pause it. I'm having, like... Not flashbacks, but what's a flash forward? That's going to be me. I'm going to be like, hello there, dearie. And people are going to be like, Josh, he's creepy, old man. Like, I would be like, that's how I was. I used to be considered charming back in the day. And now I'm just a creepy old man to the. Oh, my Lord. That's so, like, wild. But also the start of a pornography film. I think he's just a sweet old man. That girl's going to go, wah, 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 wah. It's going to be awesome. Is there more of this? Is it longer? So, please let it keep going forever.
Have you ever found yourself in one of these situations? Report it.
You know, I'm sure Walt didn't mean anything by it.
That's not the point. I don't like it.
So then just tell him to stop.
I have. He doesn't get it.
All right, then take it to management and let Mr. Edwards handle it. I'll even go down there with you if you want me to.
I don't know. I don't want to hurt Walt's feelings or get him in trouble.
Yeah.
He's probably a nice person.
Exactly.
I want him to stop acting this way.
Let it go, lady.
Report it.
Leave Walt alone. Let him say his... Let him call you his best gal. The guy's going to die soon. I mean, what are we doing here? I guess she's... You know, she's uncomfortable. That's bad, obviously. But let Walt have his little jollies. Hey, ladies, the juices are flowing. What the hell was it? Did he say that? That was something else. You can't say that, Walt. Come on. You can't say that, Walt. Draw the line somewhere. Oh, boy. Please keep sending those in. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com. Thank you to Patrick for sending that bad boy in. Well, now it gets darker. This is from a first-time Roach reporter. Oh, boy. First-timer.
Are you ready?
Oh, she ready?
I'm good. I feel weird, but I'm good.
Oh, boy. Beans sent this in. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com, which says, 24-year-old Wisconsin elementary school teacher was arrested Wednesday for allegedly making out with her fifth grade student less than 3 months before her wedding. Oh, my Lord. 24-year-old Wisconsin elementary school teacher arrested for... I had to read it back a second time. I mean, that's wild. This is her here. Can you zoom in? I can't see her. Oh, my God. This guy. Look at the guy. This looks like an L.L. Bean catalog shoot here. This poor sucker. She's like, you're making out with a fucking fifth grader? God. That's just gross sounding. Like a fifth grader. Like she's got like Kool-Aid in the corner of his mouth and like... Oh. I mean, what is this lady doing? Madison Bergman, alleged abuse of the 11-year-old boy, came to light when the student's mother overheard her son talking to the teacher on the phone. Who don't talk on the phone to, I mean, Jesus. I had a phone in fifth grade, I do believe. No, what year did I get a phone? Must have been seventh grade, because my sister was in fifth grade. But we had the Nokia with the snake. I mean, this thing, we weren't allowed to talk to anybody on this thing. If I called my mom on the phone in an emergency, she would be like, make it quick. We have minutes that we are wasting here. This costs money. And then if, God forbid, I send a fucking T9 text message on that thing and it costs 10 cents every fucking time. Good God. We got to get back to that for the children, I think. To save the children, we need phone plans to revert back to like, this is, you got fucking $400 a minute here. This is crazy. I don't know. The victim's parents allegedly found texts between the pair, and the boy's father then stormed into Rivercrest Elementary School with a printout of the conversation. Boy, oh boy. I mean, it's gotta be fucking wild, like, at, you know, for a fucking 11-year-old. That is, like, you're trying to maintain your kid's innocence. Like, you're, like, trying to protect them from the world. You know, the kid's still got a fucking teddy bear, for Christ's sake. And then the teacher's just making out with him. I mean, golly. She's 24, 3 months. And then this guy's got to go get married to her, walk down the aisle and see this. My blushing bride coming down the aisle. The victim's parents, oh, yeah, Joey, the deranged text chain included messages from Bergman allegedly discussing multiple encounters inside the classroom during lunch or after school. In the classroom, too. I mean, Jesus. I mean, it sounds awesome as a 38-year-old man. Like, this sounds hot. If I were a 38-year-old man and this lady was, I would think this would be fun. But instead, she's got wasting time with a fifth grader. Come on, lady. She is also accused of telling the child how much she enjoyed him touching her and making out the charging documents. God damn, the kid's like, thanks, Mrs. Bergman. Inside her bag, police also found a folder with the victim's name on it containing many handwritten notes talking about how much they kissed one another. Oh, boy. The one of the letters Bergman allegedly wrote, one of my cousins is in the fifth grade, and I can't imagine a man talking to her how we talk. I know we have a special relationship. Yeah, that's because they're 11, lady. She's like, you're so mature for an 11-year-old. I mean, wowie gazowie. I'd just like to interview one of these people that had this, like, you know, Mary Kay Letourneau was the most famous of these teachers who slept with one of her students, and they ended up getting married and having children and all this wild shit. And the interviews with her were absolutely unhinged sounding. And, you know, they maintained, we're in love, and this whole thing. And they made a movie about it. It was actually like this crazy Lifetime movie, I do believe it was on. Mary Kay Letourneau. I forget who played her. But it was a hell of a movie. But they make it hot. And you're like, this is crazy. Stop. You can't make this hot. What is this?
Mary Kay Letourneau.
An all-American girl. Who played her? What does it say there?
Penelope Ann Miller.
Penelope Ann Miller. Look up her IMDb. What the hell else was she in? I also just want to get a nice... She was a babe in that movie. Way hotter than the actual Mary Kay Letourneau. Anyhow... I mean, this is now we're talking 11. It's like, you're so mature for an 11-year-old. I can't even imagine what the hell. And what if this guy was spitting? What if this 11-year-old was spitting true game? I mean, at the end of the day, the dad's got to be like, all right, I guess my guy's growing up here. It's not clear how long the abuse had been going on, but Bergman told investigators she was given the boy's phone number by his mother in December when his family invited who they thought was a beloved teacher with them to the Afton Alps for winter break. They're inviting the teacher on vacation? You did this. You did this, parents. I mean, you're inviting the teacher along. Was the dad hoping he could fuck her? I mean, what the hell would you invite the teacher for? That seems odd. That was the same month she became engaged to her longtime boyfriend. Her social media shows. Good journalism, just looking through the social media. I like that. According to the document, when officers asked about text exchange between the two, Bergman invoked her right to an attorney. The accused pervert has since been placed on administrative leave and barred from any contact, any district student or parent or staff, the Hudson School District told parents the same day as her arrest. Learning about the school staff member that allegedly had inappropriate conduct that breaches trust is deeply troubling for all of us, the message states. According to her social media, Bergman was set to be married in July, less than 3 months from when she was arrested. Is that cuck still going to go through with it? Just cucked by a fifth grader, dude. Cucked by... I would be, like, screaming that in the streets. I'd be, like, drinking with my friends at a bar, and someone will say something, and I'd be like, oh, yeah? I was cucked by a fifth grader. Let's have another round. You think that's bad? Cucked by a fifth grader. I was supposed to get married in 3 months. Cucked by a fifth grader. God, put that on my tombstone. She began teaching the Rivercrest Elementary School in 2022, a milestone celebrated with her photo of her classroom on Facebook. Can't wait for school to start. She faces one count of first-degree child sexual assault. She was released on $25,000 bond. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, what do you say we go from a sex crime to murder, shall we?
Murder.
And don't worry, it's not a murder of a human. It's just a dog. Which to many will be worse. That's actually worse. If you talk about murder of a dog, that'll be the thing that gets me shit canned, I think, from the internet. not a murder. I could talk up and down about murder. I mean, people love that. True crime, you ladies. Oh, boy.
Oh, murder.
But about a dog? No. Wrap it up. But Adam Dallas sent this in. JoshPotterShow@gmail.com. Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor and Republican vice presidential hopeful, may have committed a class 2 misdemeanor offense when her fated dog Cricket, a 14-month-old wire hair pointer, deemed untrainable by Chris. Is it Noem or Noem, you think?
It's Noem.
By Noem herself, says untrainable dog for hunting pheasant. This was the, I guess, purpose of the dog. It killed a neighbor's chickens, evidently. And under South Dakota law, any person owning, keeping, or harboring a dog that chases, worries, injures, or kills any poultry or domestic animal is guilty of a class 2 misdemeanor and is liable for damages to the owner thereof for any injury caused by the dog to any such poultry or animal. You say that 10 times fast. That's the law, folks. Though Cricket's chicken attack has made headlines in recent days, however, it is not the main subject of such reports. Instead, Noem's startling description of her decision to kill Cricket, and also an unnamed, uncastrated, unruly goat, has pitched her into an unprecedented political storm. So she's just like, hey, Cricket killed the chickens, Cricket must die. That's a cute name for a dog, Cricket. We talked about my favorite bar on the planet Earth, the Cricket Tavern, North Tonawanda. It harkens back memories of that. And I don't know what this fucking uncastrated, unruly goat did to this lady, but boy, oh boy, they're getting the fucking axe too. Aw, little Cricket. Look, it's Cricket. Kill it. Ugh, it's untrainable. It hasn't fetched my pheasant yet. All it does is kill chickens. Poor Cricket's supposed to understand the difference between a pheasant and a chicken? Come on. I couldn't tell you the difference. Poultry's poultry. Let Cricket have his fun. The story included in Noem's new book, No Going Back, The Truth on What's Wrong with Politics and How We Moved America Forward, or How We Move America Forward. Interesting title for a book that involves, and so I murdered my dog because it attacked some chickens. I mean, like, why does it even get to that point in the story? The book will be released next month. Last week, The Guardian obtained a copy and reported the passage in which Noem describes killing Cricket and the goat after Cricket first ruined the pheasant hunt, then killed the chickens. Oh, Cricket, you ruined my pheasant hunt. People are still hunting pheasant. Like, Dick, I know Dick Cheney was doing it, but that's like Illuminati shit. You know what I mean? And then you accidentally shoot your friend in the face. I mean, do people out there, do you, I know we got folks that listen and watch this program. Do you hunt still pheasant of things, though? I know deer, and I guess I've seen people hunt, like, ducks. Maybe that's, like, another thing. But then you have that buckshot thing, and is pheasant the thing where it's like, clear, and you all turn to one side? Harbor side. I don't fucking know what they say. Do you hunt anything?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't either. I know we're both out of our depth here. I hated that dog, Noem writes, before describing how she shot Cricket and the goat in the same gravel pit. Good God. The goat having to be shot twice. So she just shot the goat in its like leg and it's like... and she had to... I mean, a goat is more like food. Like, can't you eat goat? Yeah. I mean, you make cheese out of it. I mean, what the hell? Like, let the goat live and use it. Unruly and uncastrated goat. Was a goat just fucking everything? Is that... This goat won't stop humping me. I gotta kill it. Noem says what she thought she had to do was not pleasant and describes how her actions startled the construction crew and confused her young daughter. Oh my God. You're just doing this out in the open. There's a construction crew there. They're like... they're like catcalling this lady and then she just shoots a goat in the gravel pit. And they're like, Jesus, lady. Your kid's right next to you. What are you doing? She also seems to acknowledge the possible effects of including the story in her book writing. I guess if I were a better politician, I wouldn't tell the story here. And so she published it still. News of Noem's tale did indeed set off political firestorm, with observers suggesting she had irrevocably damaged her chances of being named the running mate to Donald Trump, the preemptive Republican nominee for president. We're still doing this shit. I can't believe we're going to do this all this shit again. I mean, I'm not even talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about election. I'm talking about the election. Oh God. I'm just reading. They're dragging Trump on his felonies and calling him all kinds of names in here. But this woman killing the goat is the thing that's going to be the firestorm. That's what she's saying. She's like, I think I'm okay. Noam twice defended her account of killing Cricket and the goat, saying, as she does in the book, that such actions are sometimes necessary in farming and show her willingness to do difficult things in life as well as in politics. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to be Donald Trump's running mate, they throw all kinds of things out there about him. You could be like, I shot a dog. And people are like, whoa. Okay, he is accused of a lot of stuff. 88, whatever the hell, this, that, the other thing. You kill a dog, lady, you're not on the ticket. Was this her on there?
Yeah.
Is she hot? I can't tell what's going on with her. She looks kind of hot. I think she's pretty hot. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, she's kind of hot. I'd let her unruly goat something or other. I'm fucking tired, folks. Anyhow, speaking of goats, and we got a story from Ashley McCollum. It involves some animals. Police have arrested one of, I guess this is, what's NSW, you think?
New South Wales. It's a province in Australia.
Oh, yes. Ashley McCollum always sending things from over across the big drink. The worst alleged bestiality offenders after uncovering a sickening collection of material produced by a man with the pseudonym Beast Boy. That's a hell of a Reddit handle, you know? I'm Beast Boy. Why are you Beast Boy? Do you like X-Men or, you know, are you just like a big guy you like to fight or whatever? Consider yourself a beast? No. I fuck animals. I'm the bestiality kingpin. The investigation by the sex crime squad's child exploitation internet unit. So they got the child unit on the animal stuff. That's good. They began targeting those creating and distributing child abuse material through the internet. In February this year, detectives searched homes across Sydney areas targeting those sharing child abuse material, which led them to discover all of a sudden Beast Boy. Now they've got, whoa, this is not in my jurisdiction. I just do child stuff. This guy's got, we got Beast Boy over here. We got to get a whole new unit. They got to create a whole new squad just for Beast Boy because, boy, oh boy. Police alleged that the profile had a large online presence and used encrypted messaging apps to share bestiality material that he produced. In their investigation, police uncovered videos showing the alleged sexual abuse of various animals, including dogs, sheep, goats, and chickens. So I guess it's better what the old vice presidential nominee, Miss Noam, did to the goat. She wasn't fucking it. We can say that with irrefutability. She wasn't fucking the goat. She just shot it in a gravel pit in front of her daughter. Okay, so now can she be vice president or what? One video featured a dead kangaroo. Oh my Lord, where do you even get one of those? Where do you get a live kangaroo, let alone a dead one? Is this, what is this?
This is just a picture of a dog that some police officer is holding, and it looks sad.
Why would they put that in the article? Is this a, was this dog
a dog found at the property was taken to RSPCA?
Oh, care. That dog looks like it has seen some things. That dog looks like it is just like in its eyes are dead. It's like, it looks like, remember the women that they found in Ariel Castro's basement? That's what this dog, it exudes. Boy, oh boy. I'm otherwise, what if they just showed some cop holding a dog? They're like, we need a Getty image. I can't believe they have the picture of the fucking kangaroo they found. They're just some dead kangaroo in there. What the hell did he do with that pouch? Detectives were able to identify a man allegedly behind the distribution account as a 38-year-old man, with police swarming the rural property in Moreland. So this is in... That's where you got a kangaroo. This is in Australia, is what you said, or Wales or something?
Yeah. It's a province in Australia. So they got them all over.
Finding a dead deer in my house. You'd be like, all right, I don't know why he has it in there, and it's pretty alarming if he was definitely fucking it, but if you just found a dead deer in someone's house in America, you'd be like, oh, you're doing some venison? I mean, I don't know. It would be like, do they do that with kangaroos? You just hunt them? They're just in your backyard? You can just knock them down, grab them, eat them, whatever? I don't know how, I've never been to Australia. I don't know how, like, do the kangaroos just go, you know, shit, there's a roo in my backyard. I don't know why I sounded like a fucking southern guy there.
So you're not technically allowed to kill them. You can get a permit to do so, but there are a bunch of great videos of Australians just like fighting kangaroos.
That's like the old, like, they're boxing the kangaroos and shit like that. I mean, if you're doing that in your yard, though, not in front of the cameras, just for the love of the game, that's a different story. But I was, it makes, I, you know, now that I remember this is in a far off land, Ashley McCullum sent this in. Now that I remember where it is, the kangaroo's not as alarming. I mean, I thought this guy was just in, like, you know, I forgot. I thought he was in, like, Iowa or something, and he had a fucking dead kangaroo in there. As the man was being arrested, accompanying RSPCA inspectors found a small dog on the property. The dog, that's our friend on the picture there. The dog, who police allege was among the animals abused by the man for purposes of creating online videos, was taken into care. Police also found several electronic devices and hard drives at the remote home that will be further examined. That I will stand by. We talk about police and people have their ire when it comes to cops and they, you know, get upset about different things. Imagine, if you will, being the police officer who has to go through these hard drives. I mean, that guy, I hope he makes a bazillion dollars. He's got to be desensitized to hell. He's just going through. I mean, imagine having to fuck your wife after you watched this man put his penis inside of various animals. You have to go home and have sex with your wife after that. That's a prison of a life. I hope he makes $1 million and he gets to have all the fun in the world when he goes on vacation and retires, because, God, the human brain, I don't know that they can handle that. The man was taken into Terry Police Station, where he was charged with 8 counts of bestiality, 6 counts of producing bestiality material, and 4 counts of sharing bestiality material. He was also charged with possessing and soliciting child porn. Oh, well, Jesus. I mean, God, you know, stick to a lane. Please. The man was refused bail and appeared in local court on Tuesday. How about a nice animal story? This is from Brandon from Halifax. A missing cat was found by an Amazon warehouse worker after the feline was accidentally shipped over 1,000 kilometers to California from Utah in an Amazon return box. Yes, Brandon sent this in from Halifax. That's why they're talking kilometers. I was like, well, we could have just said miles, you know, we're talking America here, California to Utah. There's the cat right there. This one didn't get fucked, folks. Just got shipped in a little container and then found. A happy story. Bing, bong, bing. Aw, look at the kitty. Didn't get fucked. Galena, the tortoiseshell cat with big blue eyes, was found alive after being stuck in a cardboard box for 6 days without food and water. Trapped with only boxes of shoes that her owners were returning to Amazon, Galena somehow endured the ordeal. I bet it was because the cat wasn't getting fucked. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say kept it alive. And it kept it in its spirits high. You know, what a terrible version of Homeward Bound this is, though. It's just caught in an Amazon box. When the cat was initially went missing in April 10th, her owners were stumped. The indoor cat was described as super shy by the owner. Carrie Clark, in the notice posted on local Facebook group for the lost and found pets, she's a part of our family and has never been gone this long before. Well, that's because you put her in the box with your shoes. Did you check the box of your shoes? I don't know. This is not the first instance I've heard of a cat getting packed in something. And is it because they just hide and stuff all the time? I've never owned a cat. I would like to someday. But do they just go? Because my friends have cats, you see. And I've gone to their house. And I've spent extended periods of time at their house. And I'll tell you what. I sometimes go to their house. I never see this fucking cat. I go, you still got the cat? Yeah, it's here somewhere. What if it's in a fucking box on the way to Amazon? That's what I got. I would get scared every time the cat went missing, and I'd be looking around under the couch. I'd be looking all over for it, let alone the ones that are like, you see these people that like just leave the window open or the door open and the cat goes like for an adventure every time. I would get frightened every fucking time. It's just wandering around outside. What are you doing? This thing's going to get hit by a car. A fucking mongoose could come pick it up. I don't know. That one guy in the last story could fuck it. If it goes out there, you never know what's going to happen. They search for a whole week, and then they say, we got the most amazing, insane news in the entire world. I mean, I don't even know how you trace this back to them. On April 17th, Clark received a text message that Galena's microchip, oh, there you go, that explains it right there, had been scanned by a veterinarian. Shortly after, the vet called Clark and explained that her cat had been found in Los Angeles. Oh, the cat was right over here. At first, I thought it was a prank, Clark wrote. In an update on her original Facebook post, the Clarks then learned that Galena was found inside the Amazon return package by Brandy, an Amazon warehouse worker. Brandy, whom the Clarks identified in their Facebook post only by the first name, took Galena in and then brought her to the vet. Man, imagine that. You're slaving away at a fucking Amazon warehouse doing, you're just the robots over your shoulder, just ready to take your job. And you find this cat. What a wonderful day. And then you got to give it back. I would be like, I'm keeping the cat. I'm keeping it. I love you, cat. The box was a try before you buy and filled with steel-toed work boots, she said, adding that Galena loves to play in boxes. It's just part of her personality. Yeah, that's why you should look in them before you fucking send it out there. I mean, wasn't the cat like moving around inside? I mean, like, you got to carry this box to the door at the very least. I don't know. After Clark spoke to the vet in L.A., she got on the phone with Brandy, the Amazon warehouse worker, and told her that she took care of Galena for a day before taking her to the vet's office. Brandy was relieved to hear that Galena's parents had been desperately looking for her. Clark and her husband booked a flight immediately to California the next day to pick her up, and it was an amazing reunion. Now they're on the plane. They're going to, this poor cat has to fly in a plane now. They're going to put it in the hall underneath. It's got to go through TSA or something. I mean, I've never seen, I mean, people can bring, I guess, the cat in the carry-on. Have you ever flown with a pet?
Yeah. Yeah. My girlfriend has a small dog that we fly with, and you can, if they're
you
small,
shove her under
can,
the seat.
Yeah. You can bring them under the seat. But like, I feel like these people
like
don't get to get their cat back. Like if you ship your cat to another state, that cat's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and also they're like, all right. And then they just put it in the luggage and then throw it in the fucking checked bag thing. I mean, drive back. Golly. Anywho, yeah, Galena instantly stopped shaking and relaxed in my arms when I got to hold her again. Despite being skinnier and some mild dehydration, her blood work was completely normal and she was completely unharmed. I wonder how long she was in that thing. I mean, did I grace over that part of the story? Like how long it would have taken her to travel from LA to Utah in an Amazon package? Because that's crazy.
Honestly, Amazon should use that as an ad.
I would like, yeah, it got there pretty quick, I would say. A cat didn't even die in here. It got here so fast, a cat lived with no food or water. That's a great way to brag about your speedy deliveries. I kind of want to just ship myself. That's how I'm going to, I mean, plane tickets are getting so expensive. I'm going to Chicago May 17th and 18th. I'm just going to ship myself in an Amazon package. It'll get me there quicker, cheaper. Oh, boy. I'll just be a little dehydrated. And guess what? I'll be a little skinnier. And Lord knows I could use that right now. Why don't we watch this roller coaster accident from Kevin Little? I don't even remember what this is, but I love a good roller coaster accident. Ooh, that doesn't even look like a roller coaster. It's one of those gravitrons or what have you.
It's a watch the bottom of the screen type situation.
Oh, okay. Good way to end the program, watching a roller coaster accident. Ooh.
So it's swinging and there's not a whole lot of space underneath where it stops. Which is important.
It's going vroom, vroom. Oh my lord. Wait. Was that a human being under there?
It takes a while. So what
happened? Why was that person there?
So what happened is, theme on the program, there's a dog.
Oh no.
Yeah, so there's a dog that like somebody brought to the park and wanders on to this set. And
oh my! You know, it's probably running away from that guy's house, and it ran onto the under the ride. Please, he's fucking all the animals. You gotta help me! It just runs out there, itself. A delirium. Yeah, it's just delirious and running out there. So it's running onto the platform.
Yeah, so the dog runs onto the platform from off camera. Off camera left over here.
Okay.
And
can you play it at this angle?
We can't. It's not going to be super. It's
that's okay.
Can't slow it down, but
you know, not slow it down. But you can play it at this. Oh, and then that woman. Oh my lord!
The employee. Gets,
oh my lord! I don't think she's okay, folks.
I don't think they're okay at all.
I mean, that thing is. This is not a roller coaster. Although I do love, like I said, a roller coaster action is just so Final Destination. This is not Final Destination. This is all. That could be also one of those things where it's like, and she bruised her collarbone yeah, or something like that. She could either she's totally fine or dead. Yeah. I don't know which one is
paralyzed
which.
Paralyzed or nothing.
Yeah, I mean, there's no article attached to this. Kevin Little just literally sent the video and he goes, check this out. And skadoosh. I mean, golly.
You see the dog get away, so silver lining.
The dog lived. Yeah, the dog's fine. And after today's articles, the dog needed a win today against the humans. I'll tell you that. Yeah, and then the thing just squishes. I mean, what is this ride called, would you say, for those? It's one of these rides, folks, if you're just listening at home, that spins in a circle, but also has a pendulum attached to it, so it's doing like a loop-de-loops at the same time, and this massive amount of human beings in the thing came swiping down. Imagine being like, you know, the person who's like on the outskirts of that part, and you're like, oh my God, I just jacked a lady with my, I mean, that's crazy. That is something else, folks. That is some weird, wild stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, we did it. We did it for another week. Oh boy, next week we'll have a guest here. The festival will be over and I'll be back. I'm just trying to, you know, not miss one little thing, and that's probably bad. I probably should miss a thing here or there, but I have such FOMO when it comes to this festival. But I'm having a great time. I hope you're having a great time out wherever the hell you are. And if you are out and about where the Roach will be coming, I hope you can buy a ticket and come see me. TheJoshPotter.com is where you can check out all the dates, including the next one, which is May 17th and 18th, Chicago, Illinois, the Comedy Bar. Then after that, Washington, D.C., May 30th at D.C. Improv. On May 31st, going to be at the Emmaus Theater with Tim Butterly. Oh boy, I can't wait. That's in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Get your tickets, thejoshpotter.com. Please to be liking, rating, reviewing, subscribing. And we will talk to you next time right here on the Old Josh Potter Show. Thank you.
T11 direct with the Roach. We shotgun the beers. I got time for a toast. It's the only place to get my sports like for real, son. He taught us nobody's more sus than Russell Wilson.
Here's the deal, son. Won't find us in Walmart. Josh Potter, keep it frank, kind of like a ballpark. It wasn't nothing talking all that jism. Turns out there's a lot of semen terrorism.
Now it's time we hit him. Bringing Votto to the plate. Roachy awards with Chase O'Donnell the Great. Let me stop for a second because it's Ass Marty time. Because it's idiocy. You know I cannot abide.
Not a fan of these guys. Gonna damage the rise. Worse than the host known as the Roach. Leave an idiot woman standing on the side. Or looking like she just tripped into a moat.
I'ma kill this Henny beat like murder. Been in more studios than most have ever heard of. Please to be listening, hit that like and subscribe. So many bills have got the mafia vibe.
A lot to describe like a Roach reporter. Teacher on OF, don't report her. Trying to live life with my mannequin wife and my mannequin kids, if that's my mannequin right.
Been a fan of this guy since the Roach Motel. Couple hundred weeks in, still funny as hell. From the tip cups to back sis and blind eyes, Potter has one of the best shows of all time.
Now watch this drive, pop a couple tall cans with the Roach King and caught the vibe. Ready to pour more, scurry out the floorboards, hit like, comment, and subscribe.